Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We closed our last lesson studying about the judge named Jephthah, who led the people of Israel, the people of Gilead, the branch from the tribe of Manasseh, against the Ammonites, or was going to do that, and to deliver them from their oppression that these Ammonites were heaping upon the people of Israel. Of course, their distress was self-imposed. It was because they had been unfaithful to God that they brought these hardships upon themselves. But in their distress they repented. They cried unto God. God raised a judge or a deliverer. And in this particular instance, it was this man named Jephthah. Well, Jephthah, as we would remind us, had been cast out by his family because he was the son of a harlot, and the other's children did not want to include him in the father's inheritance. But when they were getting ready to go against the Ammonites, they needed a competent leader. And Jephthah was, as described in Scripture, a mighty man of valor. So they asked Jephthah to be their leader, and Jephthah agreed on the condition that he would not only be their captain during the warfare, but he would be their leader thereafter. Well, they agreed to do that. And so Jephthah prepared to go against the Ammonites. Now here in the 11th chapter we see that Jephthah makes a vow unto God that if God will deliver the Ammonites into his hand, he will surely let the first thing that meets him when he gets back coming out of the doors of his house, he will surely be the Lord's, and he will offer it as a burnt offering. Well, this is going to prove to be a problem to Jephthah. But then he goes against the Ammonites, and the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And then he returns home. Now, let me read to you from verse 34 through verse 40, because this is a crucial explanation of Jephthah and his vow. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. It came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee on thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." And she said unto her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down the mountains and bewail my virginity and my fellows." And he said, "Go." And he sent her away 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, and he did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Now let's notice, Jephthah had been victorious over the Ammonites. What was the vow that he had made? Now we repeat, he said whatever met him that came out of his house would surely be the Lord's. He also said it would be offered as a burnt offering. It was surely no intention of Jephthah to burn his daughter as a sacrifice. It's quite obvious the Israelites were accustomed to burnt offerings and offering sacrifices of animals. It was obviously the intention of Jephthah, and he had in mind the offering of an animal as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. And indeed, this was something which she no doubt had been accustomed to doing. He made a vow, to be sure, but can we think that he would make a vow to do something that he would never have intended to do, and he never had any plan to do? Indeed, to offer a human sacrifice, would not that have been contrary to the wishings of God? Had God ever accepted a human sacrifice? Now be sure, God called upon Abraham one time to take his son Isaac into the mountain and to offer him as a sacrifice, but God stopped Abraham from carrying out that kind of sacrifice, and he did not call for or accept a human sacrifice. In fact, when God was condemning the people of the land, the people that the Israelites were supposed to drive out from the land, it was the custom and the practice of these people to offer their children as sacrifices. They were human sacrifices. They did not have respect for human life in the worship, in their pagan and heathen worship. And would God have been pleased with Jephthah to have done something that the heathen people that God condemned practiced, the very thing that God said was an abomination and the people were not to practice? Surely God would not have been pleased with a human sacrifice. Furthermore, we see that the people of Israel and the women of Israel, they would celebrate this situation about Jephthah's daughter each year for 4 days. Now, this being a command of God to offer human sacrifice, being a violation of his will, would it have been proper for the Israelites to have celebrated that violation year after year? Well, there is certainly to be questioned as to whether or not this was a human sacrifice. It is no doubt that his daughter was a virgin, and she was his only child. Now, what Jephthah vowed, she would belong to the Lord. She would not marry. She would not bear children. He would not have an heir. The lineage of his family would cease. And that grieved him, no doubt, that this was the case. And he would give his daughter into the service of God. He said whatever came out of the house, it would belong to the Lord. I suggest to you the real possibility that Jephthah's daughter then was in service to God all the remaining days of her life, and she never married or bore children to carry on the lineage of Jephthah. And Jephthah did according to his vow. There's no question that he did what he vowed. We need to understand just what did he vow. Did he vow to do something that would have been a violation of the law of God? And would God have been pleased at a violation of his law? Indeed, I am of the opinion that Jephthah turned his daughter into the service of God, that he did not kill her. I know that there are a lot of people who believe that he did. It really doesn't make any difference to me and to you today, because regardless of what his vow was, and regardless of what he did, that has no bearing upon our service to God and our responsibility unto God. We live under the laws of Jesus Christ, and when we do that, why, this is the service that God calls for us. As we go into the 12th chapter, we're still studying about events pertaining to Jephthah. And we see that there is strife between Jephthah of the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim. Now the Ephraimites came to Jephthah and complained, "Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire." You may recall that these Ephraimites made a similar complaint one time against Gideon. They said Gideon hadn't called them. Well, Gideon had called them. They didn't respond when Gideon called. And now the Ephraimites coming up against Jephthah with the same kind of complaint. And Jephthah told them, "I and my people were in great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of thy hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. Wherefore then are you come up unto me and to fight against me?" Now you may again recall that Gideon pacified the Ephraimites by bragging upon them of some of the things that they did that were beneficial to the deliverance of the people in Gideon's time. Jephthah didn't handle them that way. Jephthah fought against the Ephraimites, and there was a battle between them. And the Gileadites took the passages of the Jordan. And when people would come to cross over the Jordan at the places where they could cross, they would say, "Are you an Ephraimite?" Well, they would say, "No." Well, then they had them to pronounce a word. "Say unto us, Shibboleth." And they could not say Shibboleth. They would say Sibboleth. Now, that's similar. But you know, it's a fact that the tongue is that which forms our words. And sometimes, as one has learned a certain language, it's very difficult for that tongue to be retrained to learn some other language and pronounce words correctly. The Ephraimites could not pronounce Shibboleth. They said Sibboleth. Well, when they said Sibboleth, this betrayed their identity as being Ephraimites, and therefore they were slain. This is the way that Jephthah dealt with those people when they had refused to come and to help him in time of need. Friend, we learn in the time of Gideon with the people of Meroz, Deborah and Barak, the people of Meroz, in the time of Gideon with the people of Succoth and Penuel, here at the time of Jephthah, when there is a time to lend assistance to the people of God, to be faithful to God, you need to lend that assistance. And God's people need assistance today in a wicked world where there is so much immorality and degeneracy and profanity and every kind of evil you can think of running rampant in our society and surely throughout the entire world. Man's barbarism against his fellow man, it is indeed a horrible thing. And we need people who will stand up for God, and we need people who will hold up one another's hands as they stand for God, like Hur and Caleb did in holding up the hands of Moses. Dear friend, we're going to continue to read about the judges as we go into our next chapter, in this 12th chapter in the book of Judges. We hope that you'll be studying with us. And this is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.